The Miami Heat, that's what I'm locked in on.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We have some news about the show that we'll get to later on. Some dramatic changes are going to be happening, but we are recording this after Jimmy Butler's introductory press conference, finally, at the Heat's facility, and there is quite a bit to unpack here, but first and foremost, David, I couldn't help but notice how much Jimmy Butler was smiling. He could not help himself.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a tangible level of excitement there. You know, we've talked about this before, that this was his decision for the first time in his career. He got to choose which team he played for. He was drafted by Chicago. He was traded to Minnesota, traded to Philadelphia. This was the team he wanted to. And he kept reiterating over throughout the press conference how much the culture had appealed to him, how much the work ethic, how much all the different players contributing and working hard means to him. And you're right. He had a buzz about him. He couldn't help himself but just continue to smile throughout the whole introduction.
He talked about Heat culture a lot, and he was asked about Heat culture a lot. And if we go back to Pat Riley's end-of-season press conference, talking about wanting to tighten the screws on that culture, and then obviously looking at having Jimmy Butler in mind, I think even then he had Jimmy Butler in mind, that seems to have been the theme for this whole summer. Even if you look at why they drafted a guy like Tyler Hero, coaches, Pat Riley, all these guys kept mentioning culture. He fits the culture. He fits the culture and all this stuff. And, you know, you ship out a guy like Hassan Whiteside. Okay. Like, everything seems to be culture related. And so did this press conference. And you go back to Jimmy Butler years and years and years ago when he was playing for the Chicago Bulls and running into those Miami Heat teams that he referenced during this presser. Right. And back then it was, and one of the reporters asked him, I can't remember who asked him, but talked about, hey, back then you said you would never be wearing a Miami Heat jersey.
Tim Reynolds
had some good questions. I think he had the first one at the press conference. Shout out to Tim.
He did. He always does. He always does.
Yeah, that's right. Asked him about that quote, right? Brought it up. Jimmy Butler laughed it off. He smiled. He's like, yeah, I know. That didn't age well, basically. And talked about then how Dwayne Wade was really the impetus for him seeing himself maybe one day in a Miami Heat uniform. Obviously, he has that relationship with Dwayne Wade. He spoke about that relationship with Dwayne Wade and about how Dwayne Wade kind of told Jimmy, hey, you would be a really good fit here. Let's play that sound really quick.
You know, number three was like, you know, this culture fits you. He's told me that for so many days beforehand, but that I think that guy and seeing what he helped build here, and I never want to compare myself to him, but I think that what they have going on here, the way that they go about everything here, is the right way, and that's what I'm banking on.
So David, hearing how Dwayne Wade helped drive Jimmy Butler to Miami, I mean, the culture fit can't be overstated, I don't think.
No, I saw some ribbing on Twitter, as you know, Twitter is wont to do, and I know that we've kind of hinted at the fact that it does come across over the years as a little bit more than just a marketing campaign. But for a guy like Jimmy, I mean, it does appeal to him. Like that quote about culture, like one of the things he kept saying was, "I need this in my life." You know, he likes that the shoot-arounds are competitive, that everybody's working hard. He kept going into these details, like I don't know if it's a direct jab at Philadelphia or Ben Simmons or Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota, you know, guys that he has notoriously conflicted with. But at the same time, I mean,
it's not direct. It's indirect, but it's certainly a jab. It's certainly a reference. It's certainly a reflection of where he has been. I mean, he keeps saying, like you said, it's refreshing. He needs us. He said at one point, you know, there's competition to be the first one in the gym, that people are beating him for the first time ever to be the first one at the facility.
I find that hard to believe, man. Like I you know, tweeted out a picture this morning, like from his Instagram. He's there at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Getting worked on at 4 o'clock in the morning and already out shooting around by like 7 or 8. It was ridiculous. Like that is
And during the press conference, or right before the press conference started, they had people practicing behind the little setup that they had on the practice court. Now, look, that's very, very savvy PRing by the Miami Heat, having their press conference happen on the practice court while players are practicing there. But it is, again, ties everything back into that general theme of what the summer has been, reestablishing culture, tightening the screws on culture. And I do think that a lot of people can rib it and can question it based on the fact that the Heat missed the playoffs last year. And the culture hasn't really been there as much as they'd probably like it to be. And I think they're hoping for Jimmy Butler to bring that. And we've talked about this before, David. The culture is a living, breathing thing. It changes all the time. Whatever the definition of culture is, continues to change. People like Alonzo Mourning had their impression of it and changed it in his way. Dwayne Wade came to the Heat, changed it in his way. Shaquille O'Neal changed the culture in his way. LeBron James, Chris Bosh, all these guys. And Jimmy Butler is going to have a hand in changing and molding the culture and redefining it for whatever that this next era of Miami Heat basketball is.
Yeah, I like how he said he could go at all the different players and that all the other players go at him as well. That it's this kind of constant exchange of, you know, kind of good-natured jabbing, but ones that really push you, you know. And it's all fun and games now when it's, you know, obviously not even training camp, but they're pushing themselves, they're working hard, they embrace and enjoy the work. These are, that's phenomenal. See, like, I couldn't help but feel a little excitement and buzz off of, too. Like, he seems so genuinely happy. Yes. It seems like a brand new era in Heat basketball.
And, I love
and I like
guy.
Your point about, yeah, and he's an excellent quote, but he also seems driven. It's just, like, the way he kept talking up Tyler Hero.
Loves Tyler Hero. I mean, you mentioned the indirect shot to like Philly and Minnesota. I mean, those are indirect shots to Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns. He could not stop talking about Tyler Hero, Justice Winslow, these young guys, and everybody else on the roster. Bam Adebayo loves these guys. Absolutely loves these guys. And if you're a Heat fan with maybe some questions about how Jimmy's going to fit in, I don't think you could have any questions at this point. Now, look, I think it is optimism season right now with this press conference and media days starting to happen, but I believe him. I really do. I watched that press conference, and he couldn't stop smiling ear to ear, even when somebody brought up the Rachel Nichols thing, where he sat down with when she sat down with him after the infamous Minnesota practice, you effing need me practice. And he was smiling about that, David. He was smiling about the fact that he was an asshole.
It was also Tim Reynolds. It was also Tim Reynolds, and he also corrected him on that, too.
Yes, also corrected him on that. But it was just couldn't, like, even just smiling about his own infamous history, like, just couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah, it was fun to watch him embrace that, to talk everybody up, and I find myself hard-pressed to see where the problems could come from because, you know, I would have said that as much as I think Hassan did work hard while he was here, he did gripe about a lot of stuff off the court. And I think that kind of wears in at the whole idea of the sum being greater than its parts. And I wonder if now we're going to see a change in that regard, like whether or not with Jimmy leading the way, everybody kind of embraces this idea of a bigger unit. I've always questioned Dwayne's direct leadership, like he's more of a leading by example kind of guy. I think Jimmy's a departure from that. I think as much as he does follow Dwayne and kind of temperament in a lot of ways, I think he's a little bit more vocal, a little bit more, not just this is how I do it, but this is how you got to do it too, blank. You know, like he's going to curse you out and he's going to get you to go to that other level.
He's already apparently been cursing out Tyler Hero, and Tyler just comes right back at him with his own trash talk. I mean,
that is hilarious.
That's the future right there. It's Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. That's the future. Them and Bam Adebayo anchoring the paint on defense. I mean, I don't know. I'm really juiced up about this team, man. I really am. And I mean, it was one press conference, but Pat Riley looked excited. We'll talk about him here in a minute. And where the Jimmy Butler signing ranks among his best acquisitions in his career. You're listening to Locked On Heat.
Long day at work? Still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
Big changes are coming to this podcast. We'll get to that later on. But David, you texted me earlier. You thought that this could be a top five moment for Pat Riley as far as things that happened off the court for him. I want to know why you thought that, because this is someone who's made quite a lot of moves throughout his career.
Yeah, his Heat tenure in particular was what I was looking at, and you know, you kind of hinted at in the first segment how excited he looked. He seemed giddy with himself. Like I feel like
he went on this long rant about how to address Jimmy Butler. He's like, yeah. I call him Jimmy Butler. His name is Jimmy Butler. It's not James Butler. I asked them about James. It's not James. And then Jimmy Butler chimed in. He was like, please don't call me James. And that was not information I think we even needed or didn't even know, because nobody's ever called Jimmy Butler James Butler. But now we know.
Oh, no, that's not true. Brett Brown did in the postseason press conference.
That's right. Remember what he said? That was the reference. Okay. I didn't get the joke first time around. Good call. Yeah, but he did seem really happy, and he gave Jimmy Butler a hug, and that photo has been making the rounds, and you just love to see that.
Yeah, and so I was just kind of looking at how Riley kind of embraced this moment literally and figuratively, and how giddy he seemed, and I was thinking, you know, over his tenure, obviously, what are we looking at now, 24 years, and he even hinted at Glenn Rice and Alonzo Mourning. Yeah. Although I don't know why he brought up Rice, considering the first thing he did as team president was ship him to Charlotte, but either way. You know, I looked at the biggest moments, I think, the biggest acquisitions, and as many as there have been over the course of that tenure, there were probably just five or six that really compare. Obviously, the acquisition of Alonzo, the first stamp on this team, I think, was the biggest thing. From that point forward, it's a long way from there, and then the next thing I think is the biggest moment is the acquisition of Shaquille O'Neal. Like, you have, like, almost a nine-year span in between when Zoe was traded for and acquired, and then Shaquille O'Neal in 2004. From there, probably another 6 years to 2010 with the acquisition of the Big Three, or the building of the Big Three.
You conveniently skipped over drafting Mario Chalmers in the second round, but go on.
Well, those are moments that just permeate. Like, you can't. No, I know you are. I know you are. And then it was tough to say. I think maybe the acquisition or the trade for Dwayne Wade again, like, that seems like a big moment.
Yeah. And then Deion Waiters at the minimum.
No. and then maybe the day that Chris Bosh resigned, which was the day that LeBron James decided to go back to Cleveland.
That's a good one.
That might have been a big moment for me personally, just because I experienced the highs and lows, and then the same day.
No, that was huge. That staved off absolute anarchy in Miami, right? I mean,
yeah.
That was so necessary in that moment. Not like, never mind the leverage Chris Bosh gained in that very instance when LeBron said he was going home, and it was basically, hey, max or nothing, long term max or nothing, and that's what the Heat gave him immediately. But Chris Bosh returning basically it saved Heat fans, I think, for a couple of years there, but. I agree with you. And moreover, the Jimmy Butler thing, look, they planned for that 2010 coup, right? You can make a trade for Alonzo Mourning if you trade another all-star like Glenn Rice. That stuff sort of makes sense. The degree of difficulty that it took to get Jimmy Butler kind of elevates it into that stratosphere, right? The Heat had no business not only getting an all-star, but getting even a role player this summer with their cap situation the way it was. No business making any changes to this team. Everybody, you know, national media people, prognosticators, basically guessed that this was going to be run it back. It's going to be the status quo next season, because there's no way the Heat can get out of it. There's no way that he can get out of it. And the Heat got out of it. Not only did they get Jimmy Butler, but the whole offseason in general, they reshaped the roster in a major way, and the big piece is getting Jimmy Butler, which, again, they had no business getting Jimmy Butler, but they worked it out as a sign and trade. You lose Josh Richardson, sure, but you got Jimmy Butler. And so I would agree with you. This is probably a top five acquisition for Pat Riley when you factor in the degree of difficulty there.
Without a doubt. I listed off six key moments there, including Jimmy Butler's press conference today, but I think you can make a case that maybe that this was as big as any of those others. I feel like nationally this isn't getting enough credit for what's happened here. Like, maybe they're desensitized to Riley always being a big swing and a miss kind of guy, or swing and a hit in this case. And I wonder if they're not like looking at the importance of this moment, as you said, the fact that this team was not supposed to be in the Jimmy Butler chase, that they were able to acquire him, that he is a top player. I think I think he's kind of, I won't say disrespected, but maybe kind of taken for granted just because he's not an electric superstar in that sense. Like, he's not the kind of guy that generates huge buzz. He's not an MVP type candidate yet, although I think that's coming. And he doesn't seem like the kind of player. He's not a LeBron James. He's not an Anthony Davis.
Well, hold on. Wait, you're absolutely right. He's a guy that's, like, through his career, he's a 22 point per game scorer, not a 30 point per game scorer. But his impact is everything, right? Defensively, sure. Offensively, facilitating. I mean, he talked about Eric Spoelstra during the press conference and just listening to Spo and just the reverence he has for a guy like Spo, having gone against him for so many years, and just his team with a guy like Tibbs, who we know he still loves, being out-coached by Spo. And he didn't say that, but he basically alluded to it. And talked about Spo and said, hey, if he tells me to score, I'll score. If he tells me to dribble, I'll dribble. If he tells me to pass, I will pass. And so that's got to be, I mean, that's a huge endorsement for a guy like Jimmy Butler. That is a huge endorsement. I don't think that should be overlooked either. And I love your little MVP dig there. I would love to go see the odds on that, because we were talking about if the Heat the Heat could finish third in the East. And if they do, that means Jimmy Butler's having a hell of a year, and he probably will finish he'll get MVP votes if that's the case.
Yeah, I can't see why he wouldn't have a huge year statistically. Like, so much of what's been missing from this team and was filled to a smaller degree with Dwayne's reacquisition is having that guy who steps up in those moments. That's exactly what Jimmy has always done. Right. You know, whether he was even just a role player with an already MVP type player in Derrick Rose and another superstar or all-star even in Joakim Noah, like, Jimmy Butler was coming up big and wanting those big moments. This was what was missing from the Heat over the last few seasons, which is why I think, like, there could be a few games there I would say maybe 7 or 8 games that will swing in Miami's favor because of Jimmy Butler's presence. Like, I don't know that this team with this roster currently is constructed, unless either Justice or Bam take a huge leap, I don't think they're going to be an offensive juggernaut. That just doesn't seem how they're built. But at the same time, they're going to be really strong defensively, and they're going to score just enough, and especially in key moments with Jimmy there, where they're going to win a lot more games than they have in the past. And I really do have a lot of faith in this team and in Jimmy's acquisition and his presence there. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. I think if people nationally start to recognize this isn't just a 43 win, this could be closer to a 49-50 win team with just one really established star in Jimmy, I don't see why you wouldn't get, you wouldn't vote for
something. You look at what happened in Milwaukee last year with Giannis, and Giannis was, he was the middle of that offense. The entire offense revolved around him. It was his gravity. It was his presence. And everybody played off of Giannis, right? Jimmy Butler, to a lesser degree, because he's not the Greek freak, but to a lesser degree, is going to play a similar role for Miami, where everything is going to revolve around him. And that's going to be very clear. We saw towards the end of the season that egalitarian system, that, you know, dribble handoff, drive kick, poke and prod type of offense, it kind of ran its course.
It did.
You know, opponents figured out how to stop it, and like Mike Budenholzer going from Atlanta to Milwaukee. In Atlanta, it was Mike Budenholzer's offense. The offense basically revolved around Mike Budenholzer, and then in Milwaukee revolved around Giannis. Eric Spoelstra, without switching teams, obviously, is going to go from, I mean, the Miami Heat's offense is going to go from revolving around essentially Eric Spoelstra over the last couple of years to now Jimmy Butler. And I think we're going to see a dramatic shift. And now it'll be the same ideas, the same tendencies. It's going to be a lot of dribble handoff, a lot of pistol stuff, you know, a lot of drive and kick, because that's all inside out type of game, because Eric Spoelstra's always been about that. But it's not going to be so meticulous. It's not going to be so much play design and patience. It's going to be Jimmy Butler, go lead us, everybody play off of him.
The last time that this roster was built around one singular player was during the gap in between the Big Three era and the end of the Shaquille O'Neal era, in between 2008 and 2010. And I want to say that Dwayne Wade probably put up some pretty big numbers, maybe even MVP-type numbers during that stretch there. I wouldn't be surprised to see a return of that.
I love that. And maybe Jimmy Butler at 30 years old could be his best season yet. And if that's the case, the Heat really got something there. Coming up next, it's the show news that we've been teasing. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, and say nice things about us. It's the start of an era, in the sense of Jimmy Butler, but it's also the end of an era in regards to Locked On Heat. David and I started this podcast several years ago. It started as a phone call that we recorded and just kind of put up on the internet, really raw. Audio quality was terrible. There was no format to the show. There was no, I don't even think, music on the show. I don't remember. I actually went back and listened to one of our first episodes a few weeks back just to listen to it, and I even like mispronounced your last name. It was
nice.
It was really, really raw, but we basically turned it into something that we're proud of. Not basically, we did. We turned it into something that we're both very proud of, and it's going to be tough to walk away, but that's what I'm going to have to be doing here in the next week or so. I can't get into the details right now, but I will be taking a new job. I will still be around the Locked On Podcast Network on the Locked On Podcast Network. David and I will continue to do Locked On NBA over there on that channel. But Locked On Heat will continue with you, David, as the host. I will no longer be on as co-host because of some of these changes happenings. But we will have a longer goodbye. We're going to have a couple more shows. We'll definitely have something for Media Day. We're definitely going to try to do one more big blowout mailbag, but I wanted to just give our listeners a heads up so that it wouldn't be jarring when I was just no longer on the show, and so that we could sort of prepare for what eventually will be our goodbye episode, whenever that's going to be, but it's happening.
This is the build-up to the breakup to the new transition. It's okay, and it's important to kind of let everybody know, and, you know, my only... You know, I'm not going to get too much into the details about... obviously, I can't get into details of what's next for you, although I think I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when we wish you nothing but the best moving forward. At the same time, it's going to be difficult to continue with the show without you because, as you said, we have been doing this for a number of years. But I will say to our listeners that I am committed to doing this show, that I love talking about this team, that I will be... hopefully covering it on a closer to full-time basis soon. And as a result, I hope to continue to bring the kind of quality that our listeners are used to and even more, possibly audio interviews, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. As well as the same great guests that I think we've always been managing to get over the last couple of years. And I think, you know, I just encourage everybody to stay with us, you know, or not, you know, if you want to stop listening. Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest. If they're only here to listen to Wes's dulcet tones, I can't blame them. You know, if that's what they want to do, at the same time, I hope they will continue to give us a chance and stay with us. And that's about it. As far as I'm concerned, I know we're going to get into this more a little bit later on, but, we've had a great run. And again, we are going to continue to record on Locked On NBA and maybe occasionally drop by for a fun show, maybe a crossover of some kind. We'll see how it works out.
It's going to be tough for me personally because I am so excited on the heels of this Jimmy Butler press conference. And while I'm watching this press conference, I'm just thinking, man, I don't get to talk about this guy every day. I did get, unfortunately, the opportunity to talk about Hassan Whiteside every day for the last 3 years of my life. And now he's gone, Jimmy Butler comes in, and I don't get to talk about this guy every day. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think, you know, I think the show is going to get better. I really do. I think with some of these changes on the horizon and things that could be happening, I think the show is going to get better without me. I really do. And my news is not bad news. The news that I will eventually be able to announce publicly is very good news for me personally and selfishly, and it's an opportunity I'm really excited about that I literally just could not turn down. And so I'm excited to share that eventually, and excited to do these next few shows with you, David, because these will be the last ones. I encourage our listeners to send in whatever mailbag questions you have, literally whatever mailbag questions you have, because it will be the last mailbag we do together on this show. So go do it. Send them as many as you can, the craziest ones, the hypotheticals, everything you know that you and that David and I love to talk about and just get into the weeds with. One thing I always prided us on was how in the weeds and how meticulous we answered some of the dumbest mailbag questions we ever got. Dumbest isn't the right word. In some instances it was, but
you're
just craziest,
not
off the wall. not related to basketball.
Was it two off seasons ago where we answered one and compared to Guardians of the Galaxy to every member of the Heat or something like that?
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Both the low and high point of the show, I think.
Yeah, it was all downhill from there. All right. Well, that's it for us today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!
Wrap it up, B.